from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Welcome, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
And I was about to say that Alon is on sabbatical, because that's what those crazy Jewish people do from time to time. But I think he's actually is called in. Is he on the line with us?
Oh, I'm here, baby.
I don't want to talk to Alon.
Isn't that like a Jewish thing, sabbatical?
Sabbatical?
Yeah.
Sounds Jewish.
Are you talking about something that Amish people do called Rumspringa?
Well, no.
No, sabbatical is a real word. I think it's Jewish.
But I decided to start off the show with some kind of racist and or inflammatory comment. So
should I keep moving my microphone
That's
around?
That's cool, dude. Should I tell you that the taxi driver we had yesterday was Armenian?
That's great. Maybe I know him.
Bro down.
I know at least one taxi driver who's Armenian in LA.
Yes, well, I can't remember his name because I'm pretty sure it's impossible for the human mind to remember it. But it started with an S and ended with an S, and it had a few more S's in the middle, and the last name was the same.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. So are you going to stay with us for the whole show?
I think I can. It all depends on the quality of the audio. I don't want you guys to keep me on if it sucks, but
well,
if it's good, then let's do it.
I think you're coming in loud and clear. I don't hear any helicopters. I don't hear any gunshots, so it sounds like it's all good.
Great.
So if you guys, let me just do some housekeeping that Alon normally does.
Housekeeping?
You can check out our live chat room at www.chatterboxgameshow.com.
You can leave off the whoa and still get there.
I know, but I got to use an excuse to say that, you know? You don't get that chance very often.
Okay.
If you want to call in, you can call in at 866-536-1100. We're going to do our Chatterbox quiz at the end of the show, like usual. And this week's topic is going to be classic games. So what year were you born, Rich? Like 1985?
86.
Okay, 86. I thought I was actually going to exaggerate, but I guess not. So most of the games that we're going to talk about on the quiz are going to be before Rich was born. So please call in.
You know, speaking of classic games, the Chatterbox Golgatron crew that's at E3 today, we got to watch Steve Wiebe almost get the world record in Donkey Kong.
Yes, yeah. We were just actually planning on talking about that, so let's do it.
We were there, man. We were there live.
What was the I heard he did some record thing or something, but not the actual point.
Well, he's
record.
Part of the King of Kong.
Yeah.
In the movie The King of Kong, and if you watch that movie, you'll better understand the whole like sort of controversy history about it. But right now, I think Billy Mitchell holds the record.
Right. Yeah. So the short of it is that film apparently makes Billy Mitchell out to be some kind of evil bad guy.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I actually met Billy Mitchell, and I like his hot sauce, and I like his personality, and I think he's a cool guy, and so I thought that was pretty lame, but I guess too bad for Steve.
I mean, the movie did kind of make him look like a prick without them having to do much work. I mean, he would just be a prick in the movie, so I don't think they necessarily demonized him, but you know, maybe he's capable of not being a prick at other times, just not well on film.
You're mentioned in it. How could you not have seen it?
This is the way I roll, dude. I'm mentioned in places I haven't.
You're mentioned in it. How could you not have seen it?
This is the way I roll, dude. I'm mentioned in places I haven't even been to.
So, Ara, apparently a friend of yours, I guess the guy who runs the 8-Bit Museum or something, am I mixing things
up?
Yes,
no, John Gibson.
Okay, so he was on the commentary track for The King of Kong, and he mentioned you. I don't know how,
that's right.
But he mentioned you in some way.
Yeah, he said, I think he had made some kind of reference to the incredibly elaborate video game lair that was my apartment at the time in L.A. so many years ago.
Oh, okay. So there you are. You're mentioned in that movie, which is being replayed on G4 pretty much every day.
That's awesome.
And Steve Wiebe was there today going for it. He got something like 989,000, which is within 60 or 60-some thousand of the
close.
Of the record.
He was close.
So, like,
close.
He came within, like, 90 to 95%.
But I also heard that during one of his runs, apparently the power cut off.
If that happened today, it wasn't while I was watching.
Yeah, it was before you got there. I was watching online because G4 was streaming it, actually. He was at, like, 135,000, and then it just, like, cut out, and everybody was like, oh, the power went off. And, like, you could hear him, like, hitting buttons. And then some guy was like, hey, where's Billy Mitchell? The power went out. Like, they're all joking. It was pretty funny. But and yeah. Then they restarted it after about 10 minutes of making the power work again.
It happened, man. He got pretty far, and he didn't seem to be all pissed off when he got to the end today. It sucks because, like, he could theoretically go on forever, but the game, like, gets to a point where it just makes you die, called the kill screen.
Kill screen!
Yeah, I really need to learn more about how that all works. I'll Wikipedia it one day. But
it's quite interesting, actually.
I haven't read it. Have you read it, Rich?
Yeah.
So explain to me the kill screen, because I wanted to know this, and I think it may be interesting to our listeners.
I don't know all the exact details off the top of my head, but it has to do with like the timer. Like each level you have a limited amount of time to finish that level, basically.
That's true.
And as you go on, the timer gets higher. And so then the faster you beat it, the more points you get. And the maximum is 8,000 is, like, the highest they can get. And so once it goes beyond that, there's, like, an overflow error because it's, like an 8-bit this and that, blah, blah, blah. And it just crashes because it doesn't know what to do.
See, it didn't crash. It just, like, forced him over to the left or something.
Yeah, it does something really weird.
Get killed
by an
arrow.
So we have a passive-aggressive crash. That's fantastic.
It's very strange. So, anyway, There's all sorts of stuff we could talk about that's not just Donkey Kong.
Yes,
too.
I want to get down to brass tacks.
Because that game's old.
Because I haven't heard all the stuff that came out today as far as E3 news. Because as you all know, E3, the big video game convention, is on right now. And I have to say, I cannot think of any other E3 or even any other video game event where I have been more surprised at the news release.
I'm curious to know what you're surprised about, but I also... I want to mention that if our listeners want to see sort of what I've been thinking, what I've been seeing at the show, and what the other guys who work on Golgatron are doing, all you have to do is go to Golgatron.com, which we link from our website, Chatterbox Game Show, and you can see the articles that I've written and just some of the quick posts I've made from the iPhone or the full posts from the hotel room, whatever. I've got my feelings on a lot of things, and that's some of the stuff I'd like to talk about during today's show. But first, all right, tell me what you're talking about. What is surprising for you at E3?
All right, well, it's let me just summarize it, right? Metroid by Team Ninja?
Oh, yeah. I found out about that.
There's
today.
A rumor about some Castlevania game by Kojima's team.
We're going to the Konami press briefing tomorrow, so we'll learn about that.
This ridiculous Project Natal, which we can get into now, I don't know, but I have so much to rant on about just that, and I have to say that Natal is... one letter away from Natas, which is Satan spelled backwards.
It's pronounced Natal.
So, yeah, the guy from Microsoft pronounced it Natal. I have a feeling it's pronounced Natal as in a baby, like prenatal.
Yeah. Well, apparently
that's what
it's
everybody
like
called
some
it.
Kind of word in another language that means birth or whatever.
I don't know.
But I pronounce it how I want because that's what I do.
All right, so we all seem to think it's a little bit ridiculous. What are your thoughts on it?
Okay.
Well, I guess we should tell our listeners what it is if they haven't looked at the
Okay,
the
you
footage.
Tell them what it is, and then I'll start going crazy because I'm about to explode here.
Okay, so I'll explain it in two parts. First, it's just a camera that detects motion, and the whole theory is you don't need – like we're trying to simplify controls and bring it – you know, make games accessible to anyone. So the Wii did a good job with that, but we're taking it even a step further, and all you need is your own body, the best controller ever. And to be more advanced, we explain that the camera is actually stereoscopic, and so it detects depth, right? You can hold your hand or part of your body at a certain distance and get closer to the screen, and it knows that you're closer or then further or whatever. And it, through software, can analyze, you know, it can assign joints, so it can see your knees, and you can wave your legs around and stuff, and it knows that you're bending your legs, and it can then assign that to a character on screen, and then, of course, to physics in-game and all that stuff. So... but that's all through software. Really, it's just a stereoscopic camera, with a microphone in it, kind of like running two iToys at the same time.
All right. I'm frothing at the mouth here, dude.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, I have to, if you guys haven't seen the marketing video, go search for Natal, whatever.
It's on the Golgatron website.
Okay, go to Golgatron. Don't go anywhere else. Anyway.
It's linked to, we embedded a joystick video. I got to give them credit.
Okay, so
embedded their video,
maybe they get some hits too. Anyway, this is what I don't understand. How is this good, right? First of all, before I even get into that, Microsoft has gotten so good at marketing that they're only setting up people to be disappointed. I mean, like, can you have a family playing a game be any happier for no reason? I mean, it's just, they're just like, their unnecessary happiness is just totally in my face the entire time. It's just, that's one thing. That's not even the real part of it, right?
Not so sure that that's relevant, but let's keep it going.
There's, I mean, okay. Let me just give you the picture of, you know, this girl sitting on the couch and she's playing a racing game and she's like handling this fake wheel. So she's making a motion of a steering wheel and apparently she's ostensibly actually controlling a game with it. And then she does this little like coquettish shift like, in the middle of it. And then she goes into the pit stop and then the father jumps up in the middle of the room up to the screen and just like pushes his arms in and out. And this is ostensibly doing some kind of pit stop action or something. Anyway, I'll tell you when we come back why that's really lame.
All right.
And we'll be back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
All right, we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and we're talking about E3. We're talking about Project Natal, and we've got Alon on remote from our West Coast studio.
West Coast studio at the Hollywood Downtowner.
Right. So I was telling you guys, I was starting to rant about this Project Natal thing. This is what it really comes down to. Why is this better? It's like they took the Wii and they said, let's use an even more imprecise means of communicating with the game.
You're exactly right.
And yep. So, and actually, Rich, I have to give Rich credit for illustrating this. This is what it really comes down to. But, you know, there's one example in this little clip, right, where they're basically like paging, around a menu,
like going
right?
through the Xbox menu system, like, oh, I'm gonna wave my arms in the air to scroll down,
right. And that looks cool, and that's awesome to watch in a movie, and it's very, you know, on the chat room, they're like, oh, this is very Minority Report, and like, oh, it's really cool looking, but like, seriously, do you seriously want to do this? You want to move your hand in the air across a whole foot for no reason, just to select a menu item?
Yeah.
No. You want to move your hand in the air so you don't have to actually hold a controller. Like,
no.
I honestly, of all the things that it plans to do, that part is something I'm excited about. Because then, like, I don't have to deal with a remote.
It's neat.
Talk to it.
Technology-wise, like, it's cool that you have a motion sensor that can, like, pick up motion. Like, that's cool technology-wise. But it's so easy to flick a control stick up, down, right, and then hit A and then do that thing instead of, like, move my hands in the air and then like punch it or some crazy crap like that they're doing in the video to select it.
Yes.
Like it's just weird.
It was a little bit silly how they managed it, but I still like that feature. But that's a drop of icing on the cake that is the project, right? The rest of the project has a lot of problems. And I've talked many times about how these companies will come to the show and hype things up big time, usually Sony, and then never actually follow through with what they promise. And that video, even though they say right in the video that it doesn't really represent the product, and they said this is all very alpha, you know, it's just in development, they're setting expectations by giving us that video and showing that someone can do a kickflip in a skateboard game and just by jumping up and kicking their feet a little bit.
Yeah, and maybe they could if it was some kind of, like, you know, reincarnation of Space Ace on a skateboarding game or something, but
if it was something like a million years in the future, maybe, but there's no friggin' way. Like, the people in the audience who think that could actually happen are idiots, and I hope that there were none of them in the audience. But in the wide-scale audience of, like, at home watching it, they probably think it's real. But
maybe they don't stop to think that all it's going to recognize is you jumping. It's not going to know that you did a kickflip in this direction and not a kickflip in that direction, or that you did this type of thing instead of a reverse ollie or whatever. Like, all it knows is you jumped, which means your games are going to be as simplistic as the Wii Sports games are simplistic compared to a real sports
game.
Well,
even if it's capable of doing a lot more than that, really what it comes down to is that that type of interface, and this is not even a technology thing. I mean, I guess maybe if we compared it on the scale of like hundreds of years, then maybe. But you can't get any more precise than pressing a button, a physical button on a physical device.
Yeah. Well, exactly. But you can get a lot more fun.
That
what?
I don't know if that's
true. You can get a lot more fun. Like, I'm with you. Precision
button presses
is required by a hardcore
are so
gamer.
Much easier and make so much more sense. Like, even like, I understand, like, you know, you look at Guitar Hero. It's a different type of controller that's fun because it's giving you this guitar and you're doing things, but it's still very precise button presses with strumming. And if you look at, if it was a camera looking at you and you're looking like an idiot pretending to press strings and strum your hand in the air, it wouldn't do anything you'd want it to do. It would just make sounds. And, like, that's not fun. At least not to anybody.
Well, then they're not going to make Guitar Hero with that controller, right? But there are some things that it will work with very well. My concern is that it won't do what it's setting us up to think it can do.
Yeah, and
down the road, it's just going to be for casual stuff. It's not going to be for precise hardcore stuff.
Yeah,
they're saying it's for hardcore and for casual audiences.
Yeah, well, they're saying that just because they're saying that we're going to please everyone. But I think you're right, Alon. And I mean, I do want to, despite all of this bashing, I mean, there is a place for this kind of thing, and there are certain types of games that work well for this kind of thing. What I have a problem with is that they're basically framing it as, this is just basically like the way things are going to be, and it's just better, and it's just not. It's maybe a niche type of thing.
Do you remember Back to the Future 2? I couldn't stop thinking, like, we need to get the sound bite of when those kids are in the old school 7-Eleven and they see, you know, the main character playing gunfight or whatever it is with an actual, you know, gun attached to the machine or
right.
a light gun.
Right.
And they're like, what? You have to use your hands? Like, yeah, that's what it's going to be, right? 5 years down the road, we're using Natal and this other thing that we'll talk about later that Sony's bringing out. You have to use your hands, I guess, for the old school games, but not anymore, not in Microsoft's future.
Now, I do have to say that, you know, I think that Sony's idea for their motion-type controller in general is better because you are holding something physical.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Well, I mean,
hold on, I'm not done talking.
That Sony camera can do,
you fanboy,
the Microsoft camera can do the exact same thing. So
that's fine, but once you're holding a physical object, then at least potentially the system has the ability, assuming that they design it that way, to actually know precisely where it is.
Yeah. And what Sony announced was not a camera, Rich. They're using their camera in conjunction with the totally new thing that they're bringing out.
That thing was just a light bulb.
No, it wasn't.
What else was in it?
It was a whole controller, just like the Wiimote, but with more stuff on it.
It looked
and
like a light bulb.
A light ball.
Now,
no, they put the light ball at the top of it to make it easier to sense by the camera.
Yeah.
It had all sorts of accelerometers in it. It also had an analog trigger in it so that you can do analog-type stuff with it. And it had directional stuff. It had buttons. It did a lot more. It had full one-to-one motion. It claimed one-to-one, and it demonstrated one-to-one. It was actually incredible and awesome.
Okay, so
I have
yeah.
other complaints though.
So this show isn't let's teach Rich, but there's some games, right? Like some of Konami's games in the arcade that seem to use this category of technology. Maybe not the exact same technology, but like Police 9/11 and that mocap boxing game. Like those, I think, are fantastic applications for motion type games. And if they work as well as the accuracy worked in those games, then I think it can be done pretty well. But this whole idea of, like, why are you trying to convince me that I don't want to hold something in my hand? Like,
yeah, for a racing game, it's absolutely stupid to think that you would just use your hands. Not to mention your arms would get totally tired.
Cords yeah. were never a problem in the past, so I don't care that my controllers are wireless. I mean, like, okay, now I can go to the kitchen and press A instead of not. That's great. So that, like, afforded me 5 extra seconds of my life. But so now they're trying to tell me that this is better than just even having a controller in the first place, which I take offense to, frankly.
Yeah, it shouldn't be replacing a controller. What it should be is introducing new game types. And that I'm all for.
Yeah.
What I don't like is them claiming it can do other things better. Now, let's talk about Sony, though, for a minute.
Go
so
for it.
for those who don't know, like Rich and I already alluded to, Sony's bringing out their own motion controller. And like Sony tends to do, they take other people's idea and implement them better. Now, they had people demonstrating this, and we put it up on Golgatron. I've got like an 8.5-minute video recorded right from the conference, which I'm sure you can find in better quality in other places, but you should go watch it on Golgatron anyway. And it shows the guys using the wand, and yes, it had the light ball on the top, but we also don't know what it's going to look like when it's finally released. They made it clear that it's just a development version. And they were waving it around like a lightsaber, a whip, a bat, a gun, all sorts of things, and it was perfect one-to-one motion. Like, it was very high speed, it was refreshing, like, enough that it really looked like he was wagging around this thing in virtual space. And they used the camera to show the actual guy, like the human being on stage, was showing up in the, you know, the TV for the PS3, but he was holding the wand, except on top of the wand, they replaced it with a virtual item, like a gun or a whip or something. And as he was moving around, it was moving around perfectly with him. And that's what Nintendo should have done from the beginning. It was really, really well done. My concern is that just like years ago when they first showed the iToy on the Sony, for the Sony PS2, before I think the PS2 was even released, or maybe after the first year it was released, it took them years to get out the iToy, and then they never did anything like what they showed in the R&D session. And it looked awesome today, but I don't know if they're actually going to do anything cool with it. I have high, high hopes, but I've learned not to let my hopes get out of control with Sony, because they disappoint 100% of the time. And I don't think that they can break their record of always disappointing. But I would love to be the first person to be wrong.
Speaking of having high hopes and getting disappointed, remember when we were hanging out alone with your girlfriend and she asked me if I was disappointed that I wasn't going to E3?
I do.
And then I basically told her, like, no, not at all. And I
was really.
Well, okay, well, that's what happened. Anyway, I was thinking about it. I'm like, why do I not care so much that I'm not going to E3? And I realized that it was basically because besides the fact that I've just been there so many times that I've just been kind of burnt out on it, I have been just repeatedly, as a consumer, and you know, I'm not talking as a designer here or as press, just as a consumer, just had my hopes built up so many times and then had them just mercilessly crushed over and over. And after a while, you just begin to think, you know what? Let me just see the thing, and then I'll decide if it's cool or not.
Exactly. See, and I thought you would be disappointed to go to E3 because it would mean that you'd have to not be going to the uat.edu website to learn all about the University of Advanced Technology, because I know you want to do that on your vacation instead.
All right. And we'll be back.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
All right, we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, special E3 edition. And we've also got Alon from the orbital satellite.
I'm here.
Yes.
So right before the end of the last segment, I quickly shoved in a little sponsor mention. I was obviously being sarcastic, but we can't forget to mention UAT makes all of this possible. And I'd love it if people visited uat.edu to learn about the University of Advanced Technology. And when you're done with that, you should also head down to chatterboxgameshow.com and, of course, the new golgatron.com, which is where we're posting all of our thoughts and highlights and footage and whatever, the E3 show. And I'm happy that we finally got a website where we're putting up content and we've got people who want to be involved. And one of these days we'll want our community to get involved as well, our Chatterbox listeners and Golgatron Empire readers, to share their articles as well, and maybe they'll be a part of the team one day. So, Rich, you've been posting some stuff too.
Yep.
You had your thoughts on Natal, and you don't seem to share my thoughts with the PlayStation stuff, huh?
I think it's all garbage.
Okay, so we have a consensus on that. Let's move on. Let's talk about...
One thing I was saying, just a note quick to all right, R over the all right, break, is all this stuff they're doing with the motion sensitivity and all this stuff, and the Wii Motion Plus they announced as well, is all they're trying to do is innovate in the physical realm, when what they really need to be focusing on is innovating in the virtual realm. Because that's what a video game is. If I want to do physical activities, I'll do them. But if I want to do activities in a virtual world and play a video game, that's why I'm playing video games.
Well, I'll tell you why I think they're doing this. And I think it's kind of twofold. One of them is oh, wow, Nintendo made a lot of money doing this. Let's do the same thing, but better, or try. That's the first part. The second part is that I think that they're trying to innovate in these kind of weird dimensions, possibly because people still can't figure out really how to design games. I mean, really how to do it on a consistent basis, at least in terms of sales. Nobody knows really why a game sells. That's why you see all of these sequels, because everybody who works in sales, although they'll be loath to admit it, basically just says, oh, look, that made money now. That's going to make money in the future, hopefully. Let's do that.
Well, you know what? Rich, I'm trying to be less mean to you on the show. Maybe it's just a personal concerted effort that I'm having, but you're really experiencing tunnel vision here. What you just said is akin to saying people shouldn't make a certain genre of game because you don't like it. Like, all they're doing is expanding their audience. They're trying to reach to other people that they haven't reached yet. They're not going to stop making first-person shooters that you like. They're not going to stop making action games that you like. They're just going to also make other types of games that other people might like. They're trying to expand their audience, which is exactly what they had Steven Spielberg come on stage to talk about.
I understand that point, and I understand it's like, okay, well, they're doing this thing to have, you know, one more thing they can add to what the Xbox does or what the PS3 does. But the reason why I don't really like it and why I'm kind of afraid of it coming to all these consoles is I know the developers that make good games might not want to do these things, but when a publisher sees it and goes, oh, well, this thing made a lot of money, and a publisher like EA or Activision would go, okay, well, on your next game, you should include this type of thing, and then we're going to see more of that in games that shouldn't have it, is what I'm worried about. Because I think publishers don't think what's really fun in a game. I think they're going to think, well, that's what everybody's buying. Let's make them put that in their next game.
Well, and you know, part of that is because the Wii is what does that right now. And the Wii only has that. It doesn't have a normal control system. But what we're going to see with the Xbox and with the PS3 is that you've got a system that does the sorts of games that we've been used to for years, the sorts of games that you want to play, but they also have this other control mechanism that allows them to branch out to those other players. It's not like the Wii where if you have it, you're playing those kind of crapware games that people are shoveling out into a bad motion control system, which, by the way, is getting better with Motion Plus, which I finally got to try out today. You're going to have a system that can do all of this. So you're still going to have Valve making good games like the Left 4 Dead 2 they announced.
Valve does what they want. They don't answer to anybody.
Yeah, but you're going to have a system where you can see the games that you want and the other games that are available, not just the Wii that is holding itself into this casual game area. Actually, the game I tried today was Conduit, that Sega game that's a first-person shooter for the Wii, where they're trying to, the guy was like, we're trying to make a game that, you know, uses the Wii controls to the best of their ability, but, you know, doesn't do it badly like everybody else has done so far. And then on the floor with all the lights and stuff, the motion controller, the LED sensor was working horribly. So
the developer admits that it's a terrible controller. Is basically what it came down to.
Who does?
You basically said they wanted to make a game that was a shooter with the Wii control that wasn't terrible like every other shooter. So they're basically admitting up front that the games using that controller are bad, and yet they want to do it anyways.
He was admitting that it has a lot of potential, but it hadn't really been done properly.
Okay.
And they wanted to do it properly. Unfortunately, I think they still failed. But
everyone wants to do it properly.
In a conference setting.
And guess what? It'd work on a normal controller.
Yeah, but the Wii in a conference setting is not fantastic.
Okay. Well, I want to interject something here, if I may. I really think that it just the funny thing about the corporate video game world is that they behave very predictably. And yes, that was a Bill Handelism right there. And they don't actually care by and large about anything other than making money, even though they pay lip service to making fun games. They don't care about that. They just care about what's selling now, and actually before that they just care about what is going to make the money, right? And the only real means that they have of predicting what's going to sell soon or next is what's selling now. And so they're just basically they try to do what's selling now and try and kind of like nudge it in a direction that they think is going to be better, or that at least perceptibly better.
Yeah, but we could focus on the companies that do that, which we might declare as unethical or just uncool. Truth is, there are other companies doing it right. Like, like Rich said, Valve just does what they want. There are still companies that make good games and they pay attention to only what they want.
There are a few. I mean, unfortunately, it's not, you know.
But
most...
those are the games that you and I actually spend our money on, right? So, yeah, the other people are going to do bad stuff and they're going to dilute the brand by making crappy games, but we can see through that eventually because we have awesome people like us who can tell you what sucks and what doesn't.
All right, so let's. I really want to talk about this vitality sensor thing, guys.
Oh. Okay. I honestly don't know anything about that, so I've missed that, and I will learn from you. And there's
you
some
can
other stuff
find
I
out
talk
your
about.
Heartbeat.
Okay, so like, remember when you go to the hospital and they hook you up to an IV, and then they put this little thing on your finger to measure your heartbeat?
Yep.
Yes.
Well, now it's a video game.
Nintendo's. I did.
It's on. Yeah.
Doesn't it have Bluetooth in it or something, so it can communicate wirelessly?
So, well, I'm looking at.
Does
a picture
it really matter
of it now.
If it has Bluetooth?
Ironically, it doesn't. It looks like it has a wire. I'm looking at a picture of it now. And
it's like the nunchuck attachment.
It actually also looks exactly like the thing that they put on your finger in the hospital. So that's kind of funny too. But the one thing that kind of peeved me was that Nintendo announced this as if this is like a totally new thing that's never been done before, and it has been done before. There's actually a Tetris game that measured your heart rate and had the blocks fall faster according to their heart rate. But I don't think it came out here. I think it came out in Japan.
That's crazy.
Mm.
So what I didn't get about this is, what is this ever going to be used for? Obviously, they're fitness games, assumption.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has a good application in that. I think that this is kind of interesting, although I'm kind of dubious also about this claim that, okay, so it senses a user's pulse, this we know, but then, quote, and a number of other signals being transmitted by their bodies. So, like, what other signals are we talking about here? Like, is it going to, like, stab you and take a blood sample and tell you your blood type? What?
I'm not sure. But, Rich, perhaps one of the reasons that you're not familiar with this is that you don't play the Wii Fit and you don't know about the amazing success.
I know it's been popular, but, like...
By the way, Wii Fit Plus has a Segway-branded minigame in it.
Oh, nice. But, yeah. I mean, if you need to find out your heartbeat, like, can't you just check it?
Oh, come on. The game needs to know it and can...
No, I need
to
unplug the nunchuck, and then I need to plug my heart sensor, and then I need to put my finger into the heart sensor, and then the game will know.
I think it's just going to stay on you the whole time.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But anyway, I think that this is, like, I'm kind of actually glad that this peripheral is coming out. I don't think it's going to have a lot of applications, but I think it'll be kind of cool.
Yeah, it probably, well, I don't think it'll have a lot of applications, and it probably won't be that cool, but whatever. Yeah. We'll wait and see.
The next attachment is going to be, like, an automatic insulin shot attached to the Wii Fitness game.
So I wanted to mention one thing that I think a lot of people missed. The Xbox conference, they mentioned a whole bunch of games. We were caught a little bit off guard with Left 4 Dead 2 that's supposedly exclusive to the Xbox for a while.
Yeah.
And they mentioned several games, but one thing that they showed and then quickly went past is Joyride. Rich, are you familiar with this at all?
Yeah, I saw it. I thought you were going to say Shadow Complex, but Joyride works.
No. So Shadow Complex, I remember seeing, and... Oh, yeah. No, that was cool, too. That was the one by Epic.
Yeah!
But we have a picture of Krasinski riding the Golgabit dinosaur. Totally going to go up on the website eventually. Anyway, so Joyride, it's just this, like, silly kart racing thing. But, like, wild, like, huge, huge ramps and loops and all sorts of stuff with a lot of downloadable content. And you remember a long time we were talking about how Korea or publishers overcame the piracy that exists in East Asia?
Sure.
One example was, like, I believe it was an online FIFA game that was free to play, but then you would pay for the microtransaction expansions to it, like new teams and uniforms and stuff.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, they're doing that with Joyride. Totally free. Free to play, but you have to buy more tracks, more cars, whatever. But if your friend has it, you can play their level without having to pay for it.
All right. Well, we're running up to a break, so we'll be back in a few minutes, guys.
All right.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. We've got our final 15-minute segment here, and Alon's here on the remote whatevers. Alon!
Or he's gone.
No, I'm here.
Okay, he's here.
He's here.
And so here. Maybe we should mention our wonderful sponsor again?
Yeah, UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. I went there.
it did not suck at all. I even enjoyed my time there.
All right. We're going to talk a few minutes more, and then we're going to do our quiz. So if you want to call in for the quiz, that's 866-536-1100.
Is this the fourth?
Don't talk over me when I'm announcing the phone number.
I'm sorry.
I know you don't want competition because anybody who calls in will easily crush you, Rich, but...
Yeah, 866-536-1100, like you said.
There we go.
So what I was mentioning before the last break, and I'll try not to dwell on this for too long, but it's cool to me. A lot of people didn't quite realize or haven't talked about it at all, so I don't think they realize how popular this is going to be. Because it looks kind of fun, not amazing, but kind of fun, and totally free. And the power of free is amazing. I assume that you don't have to be Xbox Gold to do it, since they're making it free. But if they make it gold, then it might not be as cool. But if it's silver playable, like Xbox Live Silver, people can play it for free, and then microtransact to get all the other stuff, I think it's going to be really, really big. Unless it totally sucks, like then obviously maybe not.
Like Yaris!
It's going to be the first free game for the system that is also online playable. And then, it's going to do well for that reason alone, and it's going to bring people in to play with each other, and it's going to... People who normally wouldn't play with other people, I think, are going to be introduced to the idea of online gaming with their friends just because of this game. Not a huge number. Like, I don't think it's going to change the landscape of gaming, like Molyneux would say about whatever it is he wants to talk about. But it's going to be big, much bigger than people are thinking, or at least giving credit to. And it seems to be the first example of that on the American side, right?
All right.
That have done it in East Asia. So I'm excited to see how it actually turns out.
I have to say something about Forza 3.
Oh boy!
Say it.
They're running that like full cockpit, three monitor style.
Yes.
And I was like, Ara wants to see that.
So that I'd love to play. What I did not love is their promo video, which if you've seen it, maybe you should, or maybe you shouldn't, because it'll probably waste your time.
Yeah, it's cars, show gameplay
cars though. Going around a track. Okay, they could not think of any creative way to depict cars going around a track in an exciting way. So what did they do? They said, you know when, like, you watch, like, an animation for the first time, or maybe you try an animation for the first time, and then you discover, like, oh, I can make it look like things are just barely missing each other, but not really.
Yeah.
That's what they did, right? So there's, like, cars drifting in circles, spinning around, barely missing each other. Obviously, it's just faked, right? And because it's just video, because it's just animation, it's not really that entertaining or surprising, right? So you see these cars spinning around the track wildly. They're barely missing each other, like inches apart from each other, going in all different directions. And then all I can think to myself is, wait, this is what happens in the game online now, except they hit me.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It seems that you can do some sort of machinima with it, though. Like, you can choreograph things, because they said, like, we had our people make this video with, like, the video creator tool.
Yeah, it's got
something.
A video
and
recorder
they were doing, like,
and stuff.
Crazy choreography of cars, which was really cool and entertaining to watch for me. But I mean, it's not like you're going to be doing that stuff in the game. Nobody's going to be 360ing their car in between two other cars that are blocking part of the road. It's just not going to happen.
I can't see how you can get. I mean, like, you can only depict so many different relationships of two cars to each other. In a Machinima type thing.
But the beauty here is that you're the only one who cares that much about it.
So,
well, I like to make fun of it.
Yeah. But so, then also, like, at the Sony thing today, everybody's big into car games. Microsoft says their game's better than anybody else's, Forza 3. But now on the PSP, they're releasing, the same day as PSP Go comes out, actually, September 1st, they're releasing Gran Turismo PSP, which is supposed to be, like, full game, not some watered-down version.
Ooh.
And then Gran Turismo 5 also, looks good, like, Gran Turismo 5, whatever.
All right, so let's talk about PSP for like three more minutes or
we have
four
time
more minutes,
for that?
And then we'll do the quiz.
Can I talk about PSP?
Yeah, the PSP, I'm just like, what is this? I don't even. But go ahead, Rich.
Like, what are they thinking about coming out with a handheld device today that's the same handheld device that came out 4 years ago, minus a UMD drive, plus flash memory,
plus
and they're charging $250 for it? I can get a Wii for the same price. I can get a 360 for $50 cheaper.
Well, compare it to what other devices do. It plays music. It plays movies. It stores them locally.
I can buy a PSP 3000 for $170, which does all of the same stuff. And then I can just buy an SD card for $30, and it's still cheaper than the Go.
I'm with you, but the small is cool.
It's not any smaller.
I was thinking the same thing. Reduce functionality and charge more.
Yeah,
it's a little bit crazy.
It's reduced functionality and they're charging more. It flips out and it looks like Aaron Cartman if you colored it correctly.
It's Eric. I don't have that many complaints. I mean, the price point, making it higher, is a little bit surprising, or so much higher.
I don't understand why anybody would buy it. Like, if somebody was going to a store and going, I want a PSP that plays games, and there's like, okay, well, this is $80 or $70 more, or $80 more, why would they need to buy it? Oh, you can download your games and play them.
Yeah, well,
that's not incentive enough to pay $80 up front.
I do think it's really strange, but go ahead, Alan.
It used to be that the diminutive nature of electronics was only like a thing in Japan, but that's shifted over to America, especially with iPods. Getting things smaller and smaller is now affording a premium for products, even in America,
but
and
it's
that's
not,
what you're seeing here.
It's not really that much smaller, but I mean, the DSi came out, and the DSi added functionality. It added two cameras. It added, you know, this Wi-Fi download stuff with different things. I mean, it actually added functionality and increased the screen size, and it was only like $50 more expensive.
Hey, man,
which
the PSP Go has Bluetooth.
So what?
That's new functionality.
Oh, so I can use my Bluetooth headset with a PSP? What are you going to connect Bluetooth to a PSP? Nothing.
Theoretically, you could attach a PS3 controller to it.
Oh, who cares? It's not a mobile device anymore.
They didn't announce that, by the way. I'm just saying, theoretically, it could be done.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, yeah, like, PSP Go, not big news. Like, it's cool. It'd be neat to have one if I played PSP games, but I was commenting to the guys earlier that it's weird that the PSP is, like, it's more powerful than the Nintendo handhelds. It's actually very powerful and could have good games, and it's just, if someone had made good games
for
it.
But just doesn't, for some reason.
Yeah, if it had good games, like, it's really powerful. It does a lot of cool things. It has a lot of potential. It just, I at no time actually want to play it.
I agree. I mean, that's why I bought one in the first place. I have, like, three games for it.
Exactly.
You know?
All right, I think it's time for a quiz. We're probably running out of time, right?
All right, it's the perfect time for a quiz. And so what we're going to do is we'll just do Alan versus Rich.
Let's do it.
And, all right, the subject matter is classic video games.
Classic video games. I wonder who's got the leg up.
All right, so let's see. So we're going to start off a little easy. Let me ask you guys, what does Donkey Kong have to do with donkeys?
Nothing.
What do you say?
You know, I've actually heard the answer, but I don't remember.
Okay, well, Rich wins that one because it's correct, nothing. I was hoping, Alan, that you'd one-up him and say that...
he thinks it sounds cool.
There was that. There was also, you know, it's been said that the Japanese word for donkey can mean, like, crazy or stupid, but...
Yeah.
I digress.
Okay.
All right, here's another
Maybe
one.
That's what I heard.
Still medium difficulty now. Okay? In 1976, there's a game called Death Race. Why was it so controversial?
I'm going to say just because it had the word death in the title. But that's a guess.
Okay, how about you, Rich? 5 seconds.
I don't know.
Okay. It's because you drove a car and tried to run over people. That's right. In 1976, we were running people over in video games.
Shucks.
FGTA. All right, here's a good one. This one will make you guys think a little bit. How many dots are there on a Pac-Man board?
You mean the dots that he eats or the pixels of the screen?
100.
The dots that you eat, not the pixels.
I'm going to guess 100.
I'm going to guess 233.
Okay, Alan, I'm amazed there are 240 dots on the Pac-Man board.
Oh,
apparently that's not good enough for our engineer.
It's not good enough.
That's estimation at its finest.
Okay, here's another one.
I guess an odd number.
Here's another good one. Now we're going to medium hard difficulty level. On the first day that the original Pong game was in existence, it broke down. Why did it break down?
Pong
like
game?
The very, very original Pong,
the very
or
original
the brown box,
Pong.
Or
yes.
The
first time it was put into a bar and let loose on the American public, it broke.
I cannot claim to know the answer.
Why did it break, Rich?
I'm going to guess somebody punched it.
Okay.
A terrible guess.
It broke down because the coin box was overflowing.
Oh, nice. That's a beautiful answer, actually.
All right.
Yeah, that's good.
It's nice. It's a nice video game trivia that everybody should know.
You have any left?
All right, now so now we're getting into hard mode here.
Uh-oh.
Here's a quote, and if you guys don't know, I'll give you a hint. But who said this quote? My idea of retirement is to sit all day in a big dark room playing Space Invaders.
Nolan Bushnell.
Atari guy?
Okay, no. I'll give you a hint, though. He's involved in news or media. Not like video game news, but just traditional media.
Larry King.
Wrong.
The guy with the big mustache who everyone hates.
Well,
on Fox News.
No, unfortunately, he's the guy with the big mustache who everyone likes. It was Walter Cronkite.
Ah.
Okay. Nice.
All right, so let me give you guys a little easier one now this time, hopefully.
One last question, and then I got to push.
All right, this is going to be the last one. What classic video game has the same name as a play by William Shakespeare?
Classic video game. Othello!
Well, you know what? That qualifies, although not what I was thinking, because it's not just a video game. Rich is befuddled.
I don't know.
No, it's Tempest, guys. Tempest.
Tempest.
Oh, you're right.
Tempest.
Tempest and Othello. All right, while the music's playing, I really want to point out to everyone that we're working hard on putting a lot of content on Golgatron.com. We didn't talk about it a lot for the past few months, but really we want people to go visit the site now and tell us what you think in comments and in emails and stuff. Golgatron.com is where we're talking about all the E3 stuff. And really, that's just about it. We want you to visit that. And, of course, ChatterboxGameShow.com as always.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Alon. Everybody else, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next week.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.